Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. I will post a link to Craig's site below this interview. Now Craig, we're talking about metals, and unfortunately it's another bad week for metals, and mostly on Thursday. After that retail sales number, gold just got hit, and so did the stocks. And today too, a bit of the follow through. Gold's pretty much flat, but I'm seeing stocks again selling off. We got a little bit of a bounce in the GDX and GDXJ, but those are still down right around 1%. Gold down about 0.5%. Look, the market is weak. Precious metals are unloved right now. We keep talking about sentiment and just how washed out sentiment is, but I think this is all reminding us again that sentiment can stay at pretty depressed levels as markets continue to move lower. Unfortunately, it can also happen on the other side when people are bullish and bull markets just keep on running, but that's not where gold is right now. Craig, break down your thoughts on the moves and again, the sellout washout on Thursday.
Well, I'll just take it from here because there's a lot to say, obviously. Now, you know, hey, silver's down 10% in 9 trading days. That tells you about all you need to know about sentiment. Now, you mentioned retail sales back on Thursday, but gold was getting crushed from the Asia Open, which is about 9 o'clock Eastern time here in the U.S., Wednesday night, which is the Asia Open Thursday morning. Gold was down, got into the London trade. It was down, got the morning fix, and it fell sharper. And then the COMEX Open with the retail sales number, and it fell even further. My chief concern just in the present, when you see action like that selling around the world, makes me think there might be the initial stages of some type of global margin call liquidity thing that might be related to this Evergrande thing, which on my side I call ever worse because it just keeps getting, the news keeps getting worse. Now, we'll talk about that maybe in a second, Corey, but trend and sentiment is a very difficult thing to trade off of because there have now been, I don't know, 3 or 4 times at least this year where you thought, okay, we're washed out, you know, and maybe the dollar starts moving lower, or, you know, rates roll over and start moving back down. You think, okay, good, now we're finally going to get going. And then just when you think we're ready to roll, 2 weeks ago, Friday, today, the 3rd, with the latest jobs report, which I'll remind you, you know, that's the Fed said, kind of leading up to that at Jackson Hole, Powell said, well, you know, we'll watch the jobs report, and if it's no good, then we're going to postpone taper. And then that came in at 1/3 of the level of jobs that, you know, that were expected at 250,000. And so we closed that day. Silver got up to its 50-day moving average precisely to it. We talked about that last week at 2494. Gold went precisely to a level where it would start making new higher highs at 1836. And it's been slammed ever since. And you know, everybody knows that we've had a challenging year, but if you're just trying to gauge sentiment and be a contrarian, all you got to do is look at the chart. And I counted this morning, if you go back, and I don't know, cherry pick your dates or whatever, but let's just go back to the U.S. election. You know, we'd come down for 2 or 3 months from the all-time highs in gold last in August of 2020. We get to the U.S. election and Biden gets elected. And looks like he's going to have full control of the U.S. Congress, you know, and they're going to spend like sailors, which they are. And the initial reaction to that the first day was down. But then Thursday, 2 days after the election, we had like a $50 up day. And we sat there that weekend, that first full weekend in November, thinking, OK, here we go. And then the Pfizer news about the efficacy of their vaccine hit before the stock market opened on Monday, the 9th of November. So if we start there. With the U.S. election, there have now been 16 days where gold has fallen more than $30. 16 in a 10-month period, I guess maybe 11 months. So that's averaging, you know, 1.5 to 2 a month. How can you sustain any kind of uptrend or bounce when you get these massive sentiment-destroying candles? Now, look, there have been some green candles mixed in there, too. Big green ones too, maybe 8 or 10, but they have all been during counter trend rallies where like people are catching on and, you know, and we're moving back higher. The vast majority, maybe 12 of those 16 red candles have come right at the point, just like 2 weeks ago, where it looked like we were ready to break out and move higher. And it just destroys sentiment and makes no, I mean, look at open interest in COMEX silver is down like to 140,000 contracts from the all-time high of 240,000 contracts. And so there's just no interest, no pun intended. And so this perpetuates, and it's extremely frustrating. But I, you know, at this point, anybody that's trying to trade, if you're a long-term buyer and you're buying physical and that kind of stuff, or you know, believe in a mining share, you know, it's got great prospects and, you know, whatever. But man, if you're trying to trade, it's kind of like the widowmaker of natural gas that they used to call it, because invariably you're going to get wrong-footed in this, because that's just the way it's been now for almost a year.
Yeah, Craig, just reflecting on, you know, what you just reviewed, is just as far as those big down days really painting the tape of the overall trend, and the green days just barely getting us back up into a counter trend rally, only to go to resistance and get sold down again. Yep. And just as far as the macro news, it seems like if there's good news for the markets rally, but gold thinks, oh, well, that means the Fed's going to taper sooner, so we're that's bad for gold. And if there's bad news, then gold sells off. So when you see any market sell off on good news and bad news, it's bearish territory. Do you think we're at risk of going back down to that 1675 and breaking lower, or what do you think it would take to actually put in a base here and get the price trend moving in the other direction?
Well, from a technical analysis standpoint, if you look at the daily chart, and I could send you guys one if you want. I posted one at my site this morning showing all those red candles. But if you look at the daily chart, you go back to March, gold bounced twice, early March and then late March at 1680. And in between, it kind of made like an arch, went up and then rolled over and went back down. Well, then we had that washout back there on August the 8th, that Sunday night where all of a sudden it was down $100. And we bottomed out at 1680 and then turned it all around and actually managed to end up green on the week. Once we started rolling over a couple weeks ago, I started wondering if this wasn't going to be the same kind of arch. Now it's playing out, you know, that was in maybe 3 weeks back in March, and we're now 5 weeks since that August washout. I don't know if we get all the way down to, I mean, if we break below 1680, people are really going to freak out. I think support's probably closer to 1700 or 1720, which is another 2 or 3% down from here. And we could very well see that next week with if there is a global liquidity crisis brewing with this Evergrande stuff, or just skittishness before the FOMC and all the Fed lines and Powell's press conference next Wednesday. But that would be the place to watch. What would have to turn it is what turned it in March, where the dollar peaked out at about 93.40 and then traded back down to 90 over the course of a couple of months. That would probably be what we would need out of the FOMC, kind of a, we already had a little bit of a sell the rumor, buy the news in gold as we came through August. And then obviously we're rolling over again. We'd have to get that kind of reaction next week. It's possible. Yeah. But I'm more concerned though with silver, because maybe this is where we wrap up with this stuff about Evergrande. I don't know if, you know, the structure of the Chinese banking system, and whether or not what Evergrande really is almost like a Ponzi scheme, whether that damage is contained within China or if it poses a systemic risk. My thinking is that it's not a systemic risk globally, in terms of global exposure and trickle, but it could really rack and rattle the Chinese economy. And you're already seeing that some hard landing, really bad data coming out of China economically this week. And now you're seeing the PBOC with a biggest overnight liquidity injection since February last night. If the Chinese economy really gets rattled, this early stages of a commodity bull market that we're seeing globally, could you really get rattled too? You know, copper and all the other industrial metals. And then, so then you look at silver. Silver's down 10% in 2 weeks. If the pressure continues on silver and it breaks down on a weekly basis below 22, everybody's going to freak out and it's probably going to go to 19. So I'm a little more worried about silver than I am gold, just because of everything else that's going on in the world.
Hey, fair enough. Silver is right at that support zone here that it needs to hold, because there is some air underneath that taking it down into the high teens. And no one wants to see those high teens, especially the producers. Craig, we talk a lot about what's happened in history through some of the trading and through some of the fast moves in precious metals markets to predict where markets might be going now. What time frame are you relating this weakness and this general bad sentiment to for the precious metals sector?
This is what's really hard, Corey. You know, you look at any traditional sense, and this isn't just the precious metals. And we all sit there and look at this, you know, chart of the S&P 500 and go, what the heck? You know? And you look at the peaks from the dot-com era or the pre-financial crisis, and you look at where it is now, and you're like, well, this is just insane. It's just this, like, massive blow-off. Like, in rallies that you get, like, in hyperinflationary systems, you know, it's usually the most hyperinflationary economies that have booming stock markets because just so much cash floating around that it goes into the stock market. That's basically what's happening, right? $120 billion a month in QE. Banks retain some of that, goes into the market, gets levered up, you know, all this stuff. And so you're left in this, it's not just gold and silver that seem like they're no longer based on any of the historic fundamentals that drive it. And so that's definitely the case in gold and silver. That's what's so maddening about this, because look, if you had told me, go back to January, my last couple of annual forecasts have been pretty good, especially beginning in 2019 when everybody thought we'd just keep on going sideways. So I looked at this year, you know, and in the year, you know, you start the year off, I mentioned Biden getting elected. Well, the very first week of January, I think it was January the 5th, was that runoff election in Georgia that gave Biden or the Democrats full control of the Senate. So now they got, full reign to do whatever they want, more or less, which is what they've done. And the very next day we got smashed then too, another one of those massive red candles. When you thought, you know, things were going our way, and you got all this news, all this fundamental stuff. You'd have told me back in January when I thought we'd exceed this year, the highs last August. You told me back in January, we'd be sitting here now in September. And yeah, okay, the dollar's at 93, but big deal. It was what, 90, 91 at the end of the year. So it's up 2%, 3%. But rates are still down here, you know, 135 or 140 on the 10-year, which you think, okay, well, that's up on year to date. But inflation's running 6 or 5. Food inflation's 33% year over year. You know, rent inflation's up 15% year over year. You got all these things. If you just, you would never in a million years have thought gold would be down 10% on the year. But again, like the stock market, like so many other things, it's like all the traditional relationships, the traditional fundamental things that you've always relied on in the past just suddenly just don't even seem to matter anymore. And that gets us, I guess, in a way back to where we began. You know, this idea that, well, you know, look at it. Everybody's so bearish. You know, there's got to be a time. And that's been an adage of mine at TF Metals Report for the whole time we've run it. You know, you got to buy some when things look the worst. You got to sell some when things look the best. But man, things have looked the worst now for months. It doesn't seem to get any better. So this continues to be a time that, you know, argues for just prudence and let the markets do what they do for a while. Focus on the long term and, you know, just protect yourself because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world beginning next week with the FOMC and then whatever happens with this Evergrande company.
You know, Craig, just in listening to you review the last year or two and just the backdrop, if we back up from the daily blips of the gold price and the silver price and just look at what kind of an environment we're in, if we went back and time traveled to people, you know, just a couple years back, even to 2019 or 2018, and they said, hey, can you imagine in a couple years this huge, you know, move in inflation, the dollar's relatively muted, there's all this fiscal spending, there's trillions of dollars being spent, people would think, holy cow, what's the gold price in the future, guys? And if you said, it's about where it's been for the last couple of years, it hasn't moved much. There's a lot of investors now that feel like they had this narrative, they look at the fundamentals, and it seems like the fundamentals just don't matter. And you look at the general markets, and it also seems like the fundamentals do not matter, because you look at the price to enterprise value, or you look at the PE ratios, you know, on these stocks, right, and they're 50 times, 60 times to the moon on the tech stocks. And art is selling for $600,000 for a digital NFT, and collectibles are at all times high, and all these other markets are good. But guess what? In spite of all of this, the precious metals have no love. What do you say to long-suffering gold and silver investors that think all of my narratives just went in the trash can?
Right. That's exactly what we've been talking about. She had no doubt about it. You mentioned the miners spitting off free cash flow like never before. And again, nobody cares. I mean, it's just not what anybody's focused on. It has been very frustrating, like I said, in the last year in particular, because of everything else that's going on macroeconomically and deficit spending and debt monetization. And here all the metals have gone down since last summer. Extraordinarily frustrating. Now, another way to look at it, though, and again, you cherry pick your start date, but we just came out of a period from 13 through 19, 6 years, where gold couldn't get above 1,300. And silver couldn't get above 18, and a lot of times was down 14 or 15. So we're talking $1,700 to $1,800 gold, and we're talking $22, $24 silver. That, you know, versus that long period. Okay, so they're up a little bit, no doubt. And so that maybe that's another way, you know, to at least take some solace as to where we are. But it's extremely frustrating, and I think at the end of the day, what I was just having a discussion with a friend of mine about this yesterday, who, you know, is a traditional, not whacked out gold bug like me. Okay. He's like a regular person. and I said, you know, the issue is most everything's run by HFT computer now. I think we all understand that, you know, 90% of the New York Stock Exchange volume is computer driven, and the futures markets are almost the same. And so what are the computers forecast, you know, what are they following, you know, moves in the dollar, moves in nominal interest rates, that kind of stuff. Okay, so we talk about, well, look at how the dollar is being devalued, all these trillions and trillions of new dollars and all that kind of stuff. But what the computers follow and what mainstream media follows and what mainstream financial analysts and advisors and hedge funds follow is the dollar index. Well, what the hell is a dollar index? A dollar index just compares a dollar versus all these other equally worthless and devalued other fiat, primarily the euro. And so if, like in 2013, they just simply start printing a few less dollars relative to the euro and everything else, the dollar actually looks strong. You know, nobody compares a dollar on a purchasing power basis, you know, and decides to buy gold or silver off of that. No, they buy gold or silver versus changes in the dollar versus these other fiat. And if they all devalue and print themselves to infinity at the same rate, then relative to each other, the dollar index stays at 90, you know? And so it's maddening in that regard. And I, you know, maybe at the end of the day, that's why so many of these historical fundamental relationships have been thrown out the window, because so much is done by computer and not by what would normally be rational thinking, carbon-based traders.
Well, we'll wrap it up here, Craig. Look, the market is under pressure. There's no denying that. It's unloved right now, and unfortunately it got whacked again, and now all eyes are back on that really 1675 level to see if it can hold. And for silver, that around 22 level is critical, and boy, oh boy, it's coming very close to that right now. Craig, thanks as always for your time. We'll chat next week, and next week's a busy one with all these central bank meetings, so we'll see if any of the comments out of the central bankers can get some sort of a fire lit under the precious metals. Craig, thanks for your time, buddy.
We'll see where we are next Thursday. No, and one last thing, again, everybody, please watch this Evergrande thing. One of the values of my site is we've got people from around the world. I've got a couple of people that have lived in Shenzhen and have dealt with that company. And they describe it solely really as a Ponzi scheme where, you know, new money comes in and it's used to pay up, build more buildings and pay off older investors, you know, no different from Madoff or anybody else. And that looks like that's collapsing. And so this is something that, you know, whether it's contained or not, we're going to be finding out. So that's just one last thing I wanted to add on there. That's another thing that's really going to be hanging over things in the next week.